The following broadcast is a presentation of Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sunday mornings for worship and life together throughout the week as we love God and love others. For service times and learn more about our community, go to DecaturFMC.org.
That he is alive. Today being Palm Sunday, why is today Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is usually, well, always, the week before before Easter. Holidays mixed up. The week before Easter, the week, the time when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And so, if you have your Bible, open it with me to Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28. We're going to read this story. We're going to dive into it and see really what it's saying and what is all going on around this story to help us to truly understand why people would actually cheer Hosanna. Why would they do what they're doing? And so we're going to go through this. Right before this story in Luke chapter 19, we see Jesus telling a parable. And so right after he tells this parable, then we go into the story. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this parable, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to a village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So what we have going on here is it's really a normal day. The disciples and Jesus have been probably making this journey into Jerusalem many, many, many times. This was just a normal day. They're with Jesus. Jesus is with his disciples. They're walking their way into Jerusalem. But yet this day probably felt a little different. The disciples are probably saying, there's a different atmosphere out there. It seems like some of the things that Jesus is saying, it seems like something big is about to happen. So this day seems a little bit different, and it was. Because on this day, right after they passed a couple of the small towns and passed the Mount of Olives, on this day, Jesus stopped. And he called two disciples. We don't know which ones. It doesn't name them. But he gave them this odd request. So what I want you to do is go right up ahead. There's a town right here. Inside, or go into the town, you will find this untrained, unridden donkey, this colt. I want you to untie it and bring it to me. Odd request. In a way, I'm wondering if the disciples are probably thinking, wait, Jesus, are you asking us to steal? No. He will be there. If someone asks you, where are you taking it? Just tell them who it's for. It's going to be okay. Okay. Well, I trust you. There are several times, I think, in our life where maybe God asks us to do some interesting things. I'm not saying he's asking you to steal. He's not doing that. That's not what they were doing. But sometimes he asks us to do something that we might say, this seems weird. Sometimes he asks us to do something that takes a leap of faith, that allows us to trust. The disciples were doing that. Okay, Jesus, I trust you. So we're going to do this odd thing. With Revive coming up, I want to share a story that Doug Newton shared several years back with me. He told me of a story of an unusual request that this gentleman received from Jesus. He was praying one day and he heard pretty clearly God saying, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go to this supermarket, this store, and what I want you to do is I want you to stand on your head against the wall. What? This sounds really weird, but I heard it very clearly. Okay, God, I trust you. And so he went to the supermarket. He found a wall. Right before, he's like, God, one last check. Are you sure? Yeah, I want you to do it. And so he propped himself against the wall, standing on his head. Instantly, there was a clerk, cashier, who turned around with his mouth dropped and instantly started to sob. The guy got down and went to him and said, are you okay? And he said, just an hour ago, I'm here, I've lost all hope, I have no will to live, I was planning on committed suicide today, but I cried out to a God who I thought wasn't there. And I said, God, if you really are there, do something crazy to make me know that you are there. Do something like bring someone here to stand on its head in front of me. And here you are. There's times when God commands us to do something crazy. Like to take your family to Hungary, right? Like to go to a grocery store and stand on your head. Like to go to a near town and find an unridden donkey and bring it to him. And when he does, what should we do? We should trust and we should obey and say, yes, Lord. And so that's what these disciples did. They went and they untied this donkey. Once they did it, the owner of the donkey said, what are you doing? Where are you taking that? Don't you know it's untamed? Yes, Jesus needs it. Oh, well, go ahead then. We see that as we keep on reading. Verse 32, those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So these disciples brought this wild donkey to Jesus. The same man who brought peace over a storm. The way that I see it, brought peace over this wild donkey. Have you ever ridden a wild donkey before? Me neither, but I don't think it's a pleasant ride. And they laid their cloaks all over the road. It's almost like in today's society, when they bring out the red carpet, it's a sign of honor and respect. They waved the palm branches in the air, and Jesus sat on this colt. Now, back then, the people in Jerusalem were waiting for a king. They were waiting for a king to ride into town on a stallion. This is a warrior king. This would be a king to fight for them, to go to battle, to say, I'm going against Rome. This is the type of king they're waiting for. But Jesus came on a donkey, which shows them, I am a king, but I've come for peace. I am a peaceful king. They might have not even noticed what he was really riding on. Maybe they did. But instantly, they just thought to themselves, this is the king. This is maybe the king we've been waiting for. Yes, Jesus, come fight for us. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not who I am. I have not come to shed other people's blood. I have come to shed my own. I have not come to kill. I have come to be killed. He came as peace. And he's riding on this donkey. Now, there's sometimes that we want Jesus to fit in this box and to be this type of king that we think he should be. Like we have a plan for our own lives and say, yeah, this is who we want you, Jesus, this is what we want you to allow us to do. This is our plan. This is the king that I want you to be. This is my plan for my life. I had a plan for my life when I was in high school. My plan was I was going to go to college at Moody Bible Institute, free tuition. When I went there, I was going to do ministry in the inner city of Chicago. I was going to find someone and marry someone when I was a senior in college. And then after that, find a church somewhere in the city. That was my plan. That wasn't God's plan. God had another plan for me. And he said, no, it's not Moody, it's Greenville. And while you're at Greenville, the entire time when you're there, you won't even have a girlfriend, let alone find someone to marry when you're a senior. You're going to ask several, but they will all come to you and say, oh, I just look at you like a brother, and it's going to make you want to throw up. You're going to leave college alone, and it's going to be difficult for you, but you're going to have to realize that my love is far better than any other love in your life. And I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to bless you. Not in your plan, but mine. You see, Jesus was telling him, I'm here. I am your king. But I'm not here to be the type of king that you think I need to be. These people were shouting, Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us. Save us from Rome. And Jesus is saying, I'm saving you. I'm saving you from your sin. I'm saving you from the depths of hell. And so all these people are cheering, shouting, proclaiming that he is king. As he's riding down, he's probably seeing all of these different people that he has touched throughout the last several years. He probably sees Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who now has a transformed heart and has paid back all of his debts or all the things that he has stolen. He's probably seen many lepers who now have clean skin. They were healed, and now they are back with their family members or their friends that they had to leave. He probably looks over and he sees Jairus' daughter back to life that Jesus touched and raised from the dead. And he probably looks over and he sees Lazarus, that not too long ago was it Lazarus laying dead in a grave, Mary and Martha weeping. Jesus proclaims and speaks out, Lazarus, wake up, come out, and rose him from the dead. He probably has seen these people in the crowd. Hosanna, Lord, save us. What do you need to be saved from today? Keep on reading. Verse 39. During this, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. I love this part. The Pharisees, all those Pharisees who are just filled with bitterness and jealousy. These Pharisees cry out to Jesus and say, will you make this stop? This is getting too much. Tell them to stop praising you. This is blasphemous, Jesus. And Jesus says these words. Words that I am reminded of almost every day and every time we come and sing praises to him. The words of saying, but if they don't, I am all powerful. I am the king of the world. If they don't cry out, guess who will? The rocks will in their place. I don't know about you, but I don't want the rocks to praise Jesus in my place. I want to cry out and praise his holy name in everything that we do. Are you praising the name of Jesus? Don't allow the rocks to cry out. But as humans, there are times where our praises are overcome with maybe our bitterness or our complaining or our negativity. Maybe our anxiety. Just like the Pharisees, they were bitter. They were jealous, and because of that, they could not praise the name of Jesus. Sometimes we need to say, God, forgive us. Forgive us for our negativity. Forgive us for complaining. Help us to praise. Help us to glorify you. Because there are times when I'm doing all of this that the rocks are praising his name because I'm not. Don't allow the rocks to cry out and to praise the name of Jesus for you. And then we turn to 41, verse 41. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. When you look at the Greek word for wept, this is not just like tears coming down his cheeks. This is wailing. This is crying from the pit of his stomach, sobbing. He looks over the city and he just sobs. He weeps. So let me ask you, why is he crying? Are these tears of joy? Because people are praising his name? Or are these tears of sadness? What do you think? Just a couple of you. Why do you think Jesus is weeping here? I hear someone over. What? Sadness. Why? Yeah. They didn't truly recognize him, who he was, right? Yeah. Others. Yes. He saw the future of Jerusalem and his people who he loves. And his heart hurt and ached for them. Yeah. Any others? Yeah. Yeah. And maybe in a few days he knew that he too was going to be killed. He wept over the city. I wonder if there's ever a time when he looks over us, looks over our city, looks over our world, and if he weeps. This was only the second time that we hear in Scripture that Jesus wept. The last time was right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus wept, and it actually tells you why he did. Verse 42. He wept and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus is telling this town, telling his people, you didn't recognize me. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. I am riding into your town. I am here. But yet your hearts are so far from me. You want me to be this type of king, and you don't trust that I have to be this type of king. I have to be the one to die for your sins. I will be the king that will come and save you, but save you from hell, save you from your sin. Hosanna, Lord, save us. What do you need to be saved from this morning? Maybe this morning you say, God, save me from my selfishness. God, save me from my hypocrisy. Save me from my lustful thoughts. Save me from my idolatry. Save me from my greed. Save me from my pride. Save me from my gossip. Save me from my anxiety. God, save me from my negativity and my complaining. Because the truth is, we have to realize on this day that we too have to proclaim, Hosanna, Lord, save us. We are in need of your grace and your love. Lord, save us. John 3:16, if you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. A lot of people in there. But then when you look at 17, you see that God, that Jesus came to save us, not to condemn us. He's come to save you. That's right, why he's riding on the donkey. He's come to save Peter. And as he did with Peter, as he reached down and saved him from drowning in his doubt and in his fear, he reaches down and he saves us. As he looked over and saved Peter from soon, he won't even know it then, but soon, as we're riding into Jerusalem, soon, Peter, you're going to deny me. I am riding to save you. And he comes to save us. We are humans in need of his grace, but God is faithful, and he has come to save. What do you need to be saved from? What is it in your life that you need Jesus to save? As the worship team comes, they're going to lead us in several songs as we close, as we worship the Lord. And as we worship him, again, may we be reminded that we do not want the rocks to cry out in our place. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing to him. Let's offer ourselves to him and say, God, save us. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being such a faithful God that is so patient with us, that you rode into Jerusalem, not just for that town, but you rode for all of humanity. you rode for me to save me. May we praise your holy name in everything that we do. We give you glory and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we sing these songs, let's proclaim the name of Jesus. Let's worship him. Let's wave our palm branches.